Can you top this? Presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Shave Cream for smoother, more comfortable shaves. Can you top this? Starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lowry, Jr.
Hello.
And now here's Colgate Palmolive Feet Company's master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed carousel of chokes. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gangsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells your submitted story, you get $10 plus a phonograph record, personally autographed by our wits, of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. Each time the wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25. So, yes, get on with the laughs. Are you ready over there, fellas?
Ready.
I guess so.
All right, here's our first joke of the evening, and it comes from Mrs. Floyd Triplett of West Jefferson, North Carolina. It's on the subject of indignation. Indignation.
Mad,
yes. Have to translate yet for Lori. All right, Pete, don't be indignant. That's the first joke of the evening.
Well, it seems that Mrs. Mulvaney had been working at a church bazaar all day. They had one of those rummage sales, you know, where you sell something you don't want to somebody else who can't use it at all. And finally she came home, and late in the evening, she walks in the door, and her husband was sitting there with his pipe and slippers. He says, "Hello, Molly, my darling." He says, "How was the rummage sale today?"
She said, "That was the same. Ah, it was fine, it was fine. I wouldn't help out with one of them things again if I lived to be 100.
Well, he says, "What's the matter?" He says, Didn't you win the prize for selling the most articles this year again?"
She says, I did not. Mrs. O'Houlihan sold twice as much as I did. She says, "Bad cess to her. I'd like to hit her right in the mouth."
"Well, no," he says, "now that's not the right spirit at all. I don't like to hear you talk like that. If Mrs. O'Houlihan sold that much, she must be a clever sales lady."
"Oh," she said, "she's clever, all right. She's a clever sales lady, all right. While I was helping out with one of the sales, I put down my new $20 hat, and she turned around and sold it to someone for 15 cents.
Well, Peter, the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter said 850 for that joke. So, for one time tonight at least, our three wits have a little room to barge around in. And seizing upon that opportunity first, looks like Harry Hirschfield barging in.
I heard a story the other day about a fellow took a girl out in a car for a ride. First time he'd ever taken her out. So they're riding out away. He pulls out a package of cigarettes, says, "Will you have a cigarette?" She says, "No, I don't touch the filthy stuff." Well, he says, "Do you mind if I smoke?" She says, "Yes, I do mind. I think it's a terrible habit. It's awful." He says, "Well, I got to get rid of this dame. I can see that." So he's riding a little further, and he takes out a flask of whiskey. He says, "Will you have a drink?" She says, "No, I don't. That's worse even than cigarettes, drinking." He said, "Do you mind if I have a drink?" She says, "Yes, I mind. I think it's awful." So they're riding away, and he says, "Will you give me a kiss?" She says, "Yes." So they kissed and hugged and necked for hours. When they got home, he took her home. She said to him, "Did you have a good time?" He said, "It was wonderful." She says, "Thanks. I've always maintained that a girl can have fun without smoking and drinking."
Well, everybody seemed to have fun with that one, Harry. 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, topping Mrs. Biplett's original 850, so she still has the $10 she started out with. Senator, how about you?
Well, I like those wacky kind of gags. The only trouble with them is that there's no happy medium with them. They either hit 1,000 or they fall flat on their kisses. You know, there's nothing in between at all. Like the time that Screwball Jake and Dopey Dildock were talking. Dopey says, "I don't like mornings. They're too early." Then another time they were talking about visiting places, and Jake said, "Hey, Dopey, was you ever in Africa?" So Dopey says, "No, I don't even know where it is." So Jake says, "Was you ever in Paris?" He said, "Yeah, I was in Paris." He said, "Are you familiar with the Rue de la Paix?" He said, "No, but I'm familiar with Rue de Valley." He says, "I know him." "Well," he says, "that's fine. Do you know the Champs Elysees?" Dopey says, "What?" Jake says, "Do you know the Champs Elysees?" Dopey says, "You're nuts. The Champs Joe Louis."
Well, that,
That's what I mean.
Well, it went up and down, but you did turn out to be the eventual champ along with Joe Lewis, at least up until 10 o'clock tonight, Senator. Another 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter, which again tops Mrs. Triplett's 850. She seems in a rut with that $10. I don't know. Let's see if we can get her out with little Joe Laurie Jr.
I'll do my best. This friend, the two friends are talking, said, oh, was my wife indignant this morning? Oh, was she mad? Oh, brother. She said, what about? What about? I almost twisted her nose off her face last night. He says, you almost twisted her nose off her face? What'd you do that for? He says, I dreamt all night I forgot to shut the water off.
Well, et tu, Brutus. You sneaked up there to 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive last meter, Joe. That was a perfect round for our three wits, and since all of you did have perfect rounds, all three topped Mrs. Triplett's 850. So we send her $15 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, a copy of the new joke book, Cream of the Crop, and in addition, we're sending Mrs. Triplett a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate is preferred for flavor over every other brand tested. Yes, preferred over every other brand tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today. For cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So see if you don't agree with the millions who have made Colgate Dental Cream America's favorite toothpaste. Try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Well, now let's get on with our contest of wit and humor. And here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. P.D. Ledger of Berea, Ohio. I hope those pronunciations are correct. And the subject of the joke is penuriousness. Penuriousness.
I know. Don't tell me.
Stingy. Oh! Joe goes to the head of the class for the first time in months. Well, as long as it is stinginess, don't be too stingy about the last, see?
Well, this happened in the box office of a Broadway hit show, and the two ticket sellers in there, and there's a line outside, and they're doing quite a bit of business, but one ticket seller turns to the other, he says, gee, what's wrong with people these days? I don't understand it. He says, hanging on to their cash. He says, every time I tell anybody how much a ticket is, they say, oh, is it that much? And they want to get a cheaper one. And he says, finally, you try and sell them the ticket, and they dig down in their pockets. They get out the money like it was radium or something. I don't understand what's happening to the country. Everybody seems to be hanging on to the cash. He says, these people here. He says, I don't think they'd spend a nickel to see the Statue of Liberty walking up Broadway in their BVDs or something. He says, I never saw this before. The other guy says, you want to see somebody stingy? He says, watch this guy, third in line. I've seen him before. Watch this guy. So the man gets up there, he's third in line, and he gets second. He gets up to the window. Instead of buying a ticket, he turns around and runs back to the end of the line again. He does this 6 times. Every time he gets up the window, he turns around and runs back to the end of the line. I says, well, what's that got to do with stinginess? He says, that guy is wacky. He says, no. He says, he's not nuts at all. He says, but he's so stingy that he keeps going back to the end of the line so he'll be the last one to part with his money.
Well, Mrs. Ledger will be happy to know you got 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter that time with that one, Peter. And for the first time tonight, our three wits have no place to go except to the top of the meter, and then we defy them. Two hands are upraised out of a possible three, so we'll take the one in the middle. That belongs to Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, Montgomery is walking along with his wife and 10 kids, all sizes, all 10 little kids. So they're walking and walking, the kids are tied, and he's tied, and the wife is tied. And finally, he gets up to the curb and says, taxi! Taxi stops. Yes, sir? He says, pardon me. He says, you charge for the kiddies? So the guy looks at all the kids. He says, no, they ride free. He says, thank you. Going, kiddies? Mama and Papa will walk.
Well, you rode just as far as you could go, Joe, right up the top of the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, but it was a very ineffectual move because it only ties Mrs. Ledger's 1,000. However, it's a splendid effort, old boy. Senator, are you adjusting your glasses, or do you have your hand up?
Well, I was doing a little of both. I don't waste any energy at all, you know. I put my hand up with my glasses. Well, a fellow by name of Homer Feamsby, when he first was married, he was getting $15 a week. So the first week, he gave his wife $14 and he kept a dollar. Then the next week, he kept $14 and gave his wife a dollar. And she said, just a minute, how do you expect me to manage on a dollar? He said, I don't know, I had a rotten time last week, now it's your turn.
Matter of fact, you had a very good time, Senator. Another 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter. A perfect round is in the possible making, dependent largely upon the efforts of Harry Hirschfield.
Last night, a fellow named Dr. DeSola, this is on the level, told me this story about a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist in his office, and in walks his aide, and he says, there's a Professor Schulzenheimer outside, wants to see you at once. He said, could it be Professor Schulzenheimer, the great psychiatrist? What did he want to see me about? Bring him right in. So in comes Professor Schulzenheimer, says, Professor Schulzenheimer, I'm glad to see you, glad to see you. What is the reason for this great honor, this visit? He says, I don't know, I feel puzzled and upset. Something bothers me, and I want you to examine me. He said, examine you? Examine you? When you're a psychiatrist yourself? He says, I know it, but I'm too expensive.
Well, that did it, Harry. That completed the perfect round. Another 1,000.
I know a quickie that could go in there.
All right, go ahead, Sonny.
I know a fellow whose little boy got whooping cough, and he got him a job as a glass blower.
Blowing percolator tops, no doubt.
All right, another one. Is that time for another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
A fellow, Max, meets Sam, and he says, Max, will you lend me $100? Max don't answer. He says, I'm talking to you. Will you lend me $100? No answer. Says, I'm talking, asking you, will you lend me $100? Please answer. Said, listen, it's better I should owe you an answer than you should owe me $100.
Hey, I heard a new Scotch story.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Go on. Go on. Got time?
Squeeze it in if it's
not
too long.
No, it'll take too long. Go ahead.
All right, well, if it takes too long, I would like to announce we had a perfect round all the way through, but despite your great efforts, gentlemen, we send Mrs. Ledger $25 for compliments to Colgate Dental Cream, the new joke book Cream of the Crop, and a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now, our next joke comes from Julia Clordy of Somerville, Massachusetts, and the subject of this round is emergency. Emergency. So, Peter,
he
ring the bell.
He had one a minute ago.
He was in one then. Well, it was about a doctor. You know the great job they do, and this doctor was sleeping one night, even so tired. He'd been working all day and working at the clinic and everything, taking care of his patients, and then this epidemic of measles broke out. He was on the phone all day making spot announcements, and oh, he was tired. And finally gets home, and he flops into bed, and about 4:30 in the morning, there's a banging on the door. The poor guy can't ignore it, and actually being a doctor, so he pulls himself out of bed, and he sneaks downstairs, opens the door, and there's a little old farmer standing at the door.
He says, hey, doctor, he says, come with me to Miller's Falls right away. It's an emergency. You gotta hurry. Come on, hurry up.
So the poor doctor with red eyes and everything, he goes upstairs and he throws on his clothes and he comes down in about 5 minutes and he says, where do you say we're supposed to go? The guy says, you gotta go to Miller's Falls. Come on, hurry up. Doctor says, gee, that's nearly 45 miles. Okay, I'll get the car. So he gets in the car and they drive, tearing through the countryside, trying to get to this place. Finally, they get there and the man jumps out of the car and the doctor's about to follow him. The old farmer pushes him back in the seat. He says,
no, doctor, just wait a minute now. How much is your fee?
Doctor says, well, it's a fine time to ask me. He says, I charge $3. So the guy reaches in his pocket and he peels off $3. He says, you know, Doc,
You're very reasonable, because when I missed my train, the taxi wanted $15 to drive me over here.
Right back in form again, Pete, with a resounding 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter, an automatic 25 to Miss Cloherty before we start listening, and the first one to whom we listen this time is Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, Umbriago. Umbriago comes home, sees a note on his table, grabs the note, and runs to the hospital. Runs to the hospital and says, hey, is Mrs. Umbriago here?
Who?
Umbriago.
You look through the book.
No, there's no intelligence. He says, she must be here in the hospital. Says, no, there's nobody by the name of Mrs. Umbriago here. What makes you think she's here? He says, oh, she must be here in this hospital, some hospital. Says, what makes you think she's in a hospital? Says, look at this note. It says, dear Tony, sorry to leave the house. I had to go to get my kimono cut out.
Thrown on the stage before, I don't blame him. Well, Joe, that's a hard one to call my shots on. The Colgate Palmolive laugh meter gave that a 50, then 350, then 650. I don't know. It was three climaxes.
One
there.
One to some another. Here I go again.
Well, you know what the answer is. If I want my kimono, don't give it to me. That's the gag.
Combine the two jokes, huh? Well, anyway, we'll settle for a rough 350 in there. It isn't going to put you anywhere anyway, Joe.
I know another one that's better. Anyone is better.
Well, you want to put it in now?
Well, the hospital calls up the mother-in-law of a fella. Says, you're this man's mother-in-law, aren't you? Mrs. Smith's mother-in-law? She says, yes. She says, well, it's a very big emergency. He says, he was in an accident, and he needs a transfusion. And he's your son-in-law, and we've tried all types of blood and can't find the right type for him. She says, did you try skunks?
Had to get the kimono cut out anyway.
We won't even mention that, Joe. While you go over and commune with Pete, we'll move on over now to Harry Hirschfield.
You give me a little minute to see if my teeth are in tight. The phone in the rectory rings, and the minister answers the phone, and a voice at the other end says, listen, Mulligan. We're short of whiskey over here. Send your bartender over right away. We've got to have the whiskey right away. 4 quarts of whiskey. The minister recognizes the voice of one of his parishioners. Oh, that's it. And he says, this is the minister. He said, oh, what are you doing in Mulligan's dive?
All right, Harry, 1,000 was the amount on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter again. So that puts you up in a tie with Miss Cloherty, but not past her. And, Senators, how about you this time?
Well, this is a short one you can take or leave. I don't care. There's a guy relating his adventures to Tilly Numbnut. And he said, you know, I was shipwrecked one time, and for a whole week I lived on a can of sardines. She said, for a whole week you lived on a can of sardines. How did you walk around on it?
Still have to get the kimono cut out.
Well, now comes the gag. Well, I said it didn't count. He could take it or leave it. Screwball Jake's wife is about in the same class with him. She's a little bit goofy in an ignorant sort of way. And one time they went on a sea voyage, and the third night out, a storm came up. So Jake woke his wife up and he said, Phoebe, the boat is leaking. She said, do the same as we do home with the icebox, put a pan under it and go to sleep.
Much better, Senator. In fact, that flicked around, that was one of those sneaky 1,000 there. Yeah, according to Mr. Colgate and Mr. Palmolive, but all three of you were out on a wild goose chase that time. So the glad tidings are that we send Miss Cloherty $25 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Cream and a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive Shave Cream comes both ways, and whichever method you use, you'll find the new Palmolive Shave Cream way to shave means more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for three men out of every four. Yes, three men out of every four get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Shave Cream way. It's a fact, men, not a promise. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave, and no matter how they shaved before, 79% found beards cut easier, 75% less razor pull, 69% closer shaves, 80% smoother feeling skin. And three out of every four got more comfortable, actually smoother shave. Just get Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, and do this. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Then soap face thoroughly again. Do not rinse. Work Palmolive Shave Cream upward into beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive Shave Cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all. But remember, Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, offers proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for three men out of every four.
Okay, fellas, here's another fresh start for you. Here's a joke sent in by Mrs. Donald Primo of Detroit, Michigan. And this is on the subject, this time, of praise. Praise. So, Peter, tell it and we'll see if
what
we can sing you.
What do you mean, P-R-A-Y-S?
No, P-R-A-I-S-E.
Praise.
Oh. Proving that we can both spell.
Well, this is about Mr. and Mrs. Abercrombie for Fufnik, and they get on very well. They're a nice married couple, except for one thing, that no matter what she cooked for this poor man, he never complimented her on it. Nothing she cooked pleased him. And she's going crazy, trying to cook something nice, fancy dishes and everything. No, it wasn't good enough for him. So every dinner she cooked, she'd ask him, she'd say, Abercrombie, darling, she says, how was the dinner? She says, did you like the soup?
This is not enough noodles.
She said, would you put the seal of approval on the oxtail?
He said, the oxtail, is it the part of the oxtail I ate wasn't near enough the ox. Don't worry.
So the poor woman is going crazy, never a word of praise, and she's getting hysterical with this thing and trying to get a kind word about her cooking. So one morning, she said, honeysuckle, she says, cheer the face. She said, how would you like to have breakfast? A nice plate of strangled eggs.
Said, eggs. Every morning, eggs. He said, why couldn't we once in a while have something a little different, like pancakes?
She says, pancakes? All right, honey. She says, you'll sit there, I'll go in the kitchen, and I'll flip you a flapjack right away. So she rushes in the kitchen, she gets all the cookbooks, and she starts making pancakes to try and please this man. Finally, she brings in the pancakes and she waits for see how he'll react and eats one.
She says, Daphne, the pancakes are not bad.
She says, hey, they're not bad. That's wonderful.
She said, they're also fluffy.
She says, you're fluffy. You like them fluffy.
She says, besides this, she says, they are tasty.
She says, also tasty. That's wonderful.
She says, also, he says, they are golden brown and crispy crunchy.
That's wonderful. I'm glad they're crispy crunchy. And this is the first time she's so happy because she's finally going to please the guy. She says, you mean, darling, you like the pancakes?
He says, yeah, but confidentially, they're not as round as they should be.
Very vigorous 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter then, Pete. So, Mrs. Primo is very happy about the whole thing. Senator, I think your hand was raised first.
Well, you've heard a lot of dialects on this program. I have one I'm going to tell. It's unusual. I'm going to tell it in firefly dialect. This little firefly was the first time he began to fly around out of his nest. And he was given out with a taillight. Always having a lot of fun. The taillight was going like the thickens. And the fun firefly, the fun mud of the firefly, looked at the father and said, bright for his age, isn't he?
Well, 500...
Well, nobody knows what a firefly talks like, so I guess I was right.
You could have fooled me, Senator. 500 on a Colgate palm oil last meter, and now Harry Hershey.
Pete keeps reminding me of Gags at his food thing. There's a kid at home, and he's studying his history book. The teacher told him, she said, so the father's always asking Popnikov, he's saying, bring me a glass of water. Every 5 minutes, a glass of water. He says, Papa, the teacher says, I'm a very bright boy and I might amount to something. He said, I should read the history book and study about great men. Great men, and I'll be like them. Father said, don't be foolish. Great men. Was Napoleon a big man? Said, yeah. Was Bismarck a big man? Said, yeah. So after all, they're big heroes. They were big generals and they were big kings. And how did it end up? Today, Napoleon is a cake and Bismarck is a herring.
$1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive last week, Harry. Well, Joe, if you can think of a quick one, here we go again.
Claiborne meets his friend Montgomery, and is raving about his kid. He says, have I got a baby? Oh, have I got a baby? She says, you should hear the baby go, ooh, oog, 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 and walks a little bit, and says, gaga. He says, ah, that's a baby. You should hear my baby. When I'm leaving in the morning, she says, Papa, Papa, don't stay long in the office. Papa, bring me bum-bums. Papa, come home early. He says, oh, that's remarkable. He says, and so distinct and plain, she talks. She says, how old is the baby? She'll be 12 years old tomorrow.
Well, Joe, that wasn't enough to get up to $1,000, but Mrs. Primo now has $25 for the compliments of Palmolive shave creams and a phonograph record of Pete Donald telling her story on the air, and we don't have any time left either. So, friends, join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. And until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Shave Creams for smoother, more comfortable shave.
Wonderful news! Now Luster Cream Shampoo comes in tubes as well as jars. Yes, utterly new Luster Cream for soft, glamorous dream. $1. Smaller sizes in tubes or jars, 49 and 25 cents. Be a dream girl, a lovely Luster Cream girl.
You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
Here's a message from your government. Student nursing offers a career opportunity for young women that can't be topped. It includes a professional education, vital work with doctors and graduate nurses, preparations for a fascinating career in public service or private practice as a registered nurse. Today, nursing hours are shorter, working facilities greater, jobs more varied. Get information about student nursing at the hospital nearest you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.